I am Magnus Grinnebäck. Today we are in our distillery, Manx Whiskey Company distillery.
And we're out here in Bouldrine. I've come down the long and windy Ballaghorn Road, turn off, and here we are. You've got this little operation first. Talk us through what we're looking at, first of all.
So we're standing in front of the stills. I think that's probably the most prominent piece of equipment in here. Not the only one, though. The other pieces matter enormously. But they are the most eye-catching ones. You have to the left our 400-litre wash still. This is where the first distillation takes place. And then you have a smaller still here, which is a 100-litre spirit still. And this is where the final whiskey comes out.
So what's the output of something like this? How much can you make in say, a batch?
That's a good question. So perhaps it's easy to think what we do every week. So we operate on a weekly basis. And every week we end up producing between 25 and 30 liters of pure alcohol, that is. Now, of course, that gets diluted down to cask strength, about 63%. So in terms of real whiskey, it's probably 45 liters or thereabouts. And then, of course, that gets bottled in half-liter bottles, you're looking at 80, 90 bottles a week. So,
when you think of other distilleries, say looking across to Scotland, what sort of size, what other distilleries would it compare to? Because I've been to, was it Edra Dower, the really small distilleries in my time. So are we talking about, obviously it's a small operation, so similar to that?
No, Edra Dower is much bigger than we are. They prided themselves at one stage to be the smallest distiller in Scotland, and
that's
compared
right.
to us, they are absolute giants. No, this is very, very small, and I think what we tried to do here, we're never really interested in building a big operation. Rather, I like the idea of what they have in Tasmania, this sort of garage whiskey culture where there are lots of small distillers. I think that's quite charming, and that's something that we were striving for. So
it makes it distinct as well, doesn't it? And so take us back. You're in your seventh year now, I want to say. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Since we started, of course, the first part of the business is to secure the license and, you know, business planning and all that stuff. But the first distillation was done in 2020 in October. So since then, we've been distilling regularly, not every week, but most weeks.
And how did it start? Is it a passion project of your own? Did you set out to have this, say, 10 years before? Or was it just something that you thought, I want to give that a go?
Well, I actually always wanted to have a vineyard.
Right.
But when I came to the island in 2018 and I was working with Scott, who's my business partner here, and I couldn't believe when I came to the island that no one was making whiskey. You have Scotland, you have Ireland nearby, and you have a great climate for it, and just felt like an opportunity too good to not sort of pursue.
And we've had gin distilleries, of course, on the island. We know there are rum makers as well. So, yeah, an open opportunity, I suppose. And those first attempts, that first year, what was that like?
It was very, very interesting, of course. And we didn't help ourselves. We have decided to do this the hardest possible way. Most distilleries do parts of the process that we are doing. We do everything. We get the barley straight from the farmer. We malt it ourselves, something that used to be done in the old days at pretty much every distillery in Scotland and elsewhere. That's no longer done for efficiency reasons and whatnot. You can still produce great whiskey. However, if you want to do everything in-house, you have to do it the harder way. And that was a lot of learning. Mm-hmm. You can't just buy equipment this size. There are no malting kilns available for distillers of this size. So you have to build them. So we had to build a lot of equipment. We had to try things out. We had to test different ways of kilning the malt, different steeping schedules. Yeah, there was a steep learning curve.
Lots of trial and error.
Yes, you can say that.
And you pride yourself, don't you, on having 100% Manx ingredients. That's everything. How much of a challenge is that?
There are challenges. I mean, I don't want to over-exaggerate that. Mm-hmm. There are, of course, limitations. I mean, we get really nice barley down from Ballavel Farm outside of Castletown. That's where everything's come from. Mm-hmm. And the barley that we get creates whiskey that tastes really, really good. It's probably not barley that commercial maltsters would have worked with because it's a little too lean, it's a little too skinny and so on. So it would probably have been rejected for that. But that's for efficiency reasons. Flavor-wise, this is fantastic barley that we get. Mm-hmm. So it's a little challenging to work with, of course. But I think it's well worth it for the flavor that we're getting, and also the fact that we're making a real Manx product here, and that matters enormously to us. So.
And well, the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Because a few years down the line now, your Manx Whiskies Award, World Whiskies Awards, here we go. This is the third time you've won, is that right?
Yes, it's a third gold medal, that's right. We had a silver and a bronze before that as well, but to get the gold medals is really special. I mean, it's really humbling, actually.
So tell us about this latest gold award then. What does this relate to?
It is it's a whiskey we call Buramo that we put together for the award, and we will release this again at the end of June and early July in larger quantities. They're not just a couple of bottles. But this is, again, it's barley from Balavel Farm. It's whiskey from three different casks, two different bourbon casks and a sherry cask that we have married together. We think that they work better together. And that's what it is. It's cask strength, bottled at 55%. This is just about 4 years old. So.
And you say this was specifically created for the awards. Mm. What was the awards process like?
You submit your whiskies in August. And after that, it goes through a first round of tasting where you have, I think there are probably 2,000 entries or something like that in many, many different categories and whiskies from all over the world. And there the whiskey gets judged by a number of judges, usually four judges, and you get scored, etc. If you're going to have a shot at winning a gold medal, this is kind of where you have to do well. After that, there is a final where there's another tasting in between there where you kind of reconfirm the scores and then it gets decided who wins the gold medals in this category, who wins the silver and so on. And after that, which is where we are now, once you've won your gold medals, then these winners proceed to compete against each other for titles for like world's best small batch single malt, which is where we are running. So.
And am I reading that right on the label there, 56%?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. So we don't dilute our whiskies. Yeah. Most whiskey you buy is diluted down to 40, 43%. We don't do that. We bottle everything as it comes out of the cask. Mm-hmm. And then we trust our customers to dilute it themselves to the strength that they want. Sometimes people want to have a bit stronger, sometimes a bit weaker, and everything is right. But if we pre-dilute it, you can't choose yourself.
And the name Buramo, where's that from?
It's wordplay. Bourbon cask and the sherry cask is an Amontillado cask. So Buramo, it's just putting them together.
And what kind of comments did you get then from the panel there?
Well, it's tasting notes that talked about, the floral notes, the long and complex finish and so on. I don't have them on top of my head, but I'm happy to share them if you're interested. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't taste any today. We're driving, unfortunately, but I'm sure it smells absolutely amazing. So what more can you tell us about this then? And will you be submitting again next year?
Yeah, we like doing it. It's a very healthy exercise. It gives us a reason to look forward and think through what do we have in the warehouse and how do we create the best possible whiskey. And I think it's also quite... it's scary and it forces you to really do your best when you know you're going to get judged for what you've put forward. And I quite like the process. And when you win, it's easy to like it. But it's inspiring.
What ideas have you got brewing up for next year?
That's a good question. This is the first one we will release, which will come out again end of June, early July. We will do another release towards the autumn, which will probably be a slightly darker, more winter-driven whiskey. And this year we started as well to release a winter dram, which goes out only in bars on the island, because it's very hard. We don't produce much whiskey. It sells out very quickly. So we try to improve the availability by having it in some of the venues that we really like around the island. So sometime in end of November, early December, we release the winter dram for next year as well. So.
And am I right in saying if people want to get their hands on their own bottle, it's like they have to sign up for it, that kind of thing?
Yeah, up to now we have released everything to subscribers of our email list. We had actually a ballot for the first three releases, actually. Mm. The last one we gave first dibs for email subscribers and they just disappeared immediately, actually. So it's a good idea to sign up.
Sure. And look into the future. Do you ever plan to upscale the operation here, or are you quite happy with the level at the moment?
I'm quite happy with the way it is. I mean, we are producing up towards 2,000 bottles a year at the moment, and I quite like that level, to be honest. And I like it being hands-on. I mean, I have a background, but I've been sitting in front of a computer my whole career, and I really like that I don't have to sit in front of a computer. This is physical. Barley comes in and beautiful whiskey comes out. So I want to keep it like this, certainly for a bit longer.
And at these awards, knowing that you're getting gold and you're putting the word Manx on the world stage, how does that feel?
It feels almost surreal, to be honest. I think the fact that you can go to a farm on the Isle of Man, pick up barley, and you work with it, and you produce a whiskey that's there and competes with the very best in the world. I mean, it's humbling is probably the best word to describe it. We're proud to put Manx whiskey and whiskey from Isle of Man on the map, and I hope we can carry on and do it successfully in the future as well.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.